Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is March 1st, 2024, SmackDown, The Rock, Roman Reigns, The Bloodline are running the show. And this is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by NYC Demon Diva Issa and Matt Kuhn, back with us again on a Friday. This felt like two shorter episodes of SmackDown in one. Issa, you're riding high off that opening 40-minute segment with Roman and The Rock.
Can't wait to talk about it.
Good. Matt, how about you? Did this satisfy all your Roman Reigns man crush needs, that opening 40 minutes?
I got enough of them. Yes, I did. Let's talk about it. Can't wait.
Cool. Do we have any news tonight? Anything else going on? I mean, The Rock's 20-minute promo, the original version was like 15, and he said, now I'm going to upload a 21-minute director's cut of this promo on Instagram telling Cody, F your story. Today, everybody was talking about this. Issa, I know you watched the whole thing probably multiple times. But Matt, what did the Rock's promo on Instagram today?
Oh no, I didn't watch it. When I clicked on it, I saw 20 minutes. I was like, yeah, I'll get some highlights on social media. I don't have time for that. I'm a busy girl, so I did not. As a matter of fact, I never really relate with Cody, but I got a big chuckle out of the I am watching all that response because that's exactly what I did. I did not watch it. I think I got through. Whenever I started talking about David LaGreca, and then I was like, yeah, I gotta go. I'm sorry.
He definitely ended with the TLDR, with the F your story twice.
Oh, nice.
That was really the gist of it. But Matt, did you check it out?
Yeah, I'm not watching that for 21 minutes. You know, what am I going to do? Sit there and stare at my phone and watch a Rock promo on my phone for 21 minutes? But I did, you know, hear some reporting that, you know, that was, in fact, kind of what he wanted to do on SmackDown. Mm. And was told that there was a, you know, that was long. And so, you know,
so he went 40 minutes.
He had he had a 21-minute promo on Twitter. And I counted today, from the times his microphone touched his hand, he had 13 minutes. So I think he got in what he wanted anyway.
Yeah. It was interesting. So what I did was this. I put it on and then I did other things. Like I ordered some cat treats. Stocked up on coffee. Like I was doing other things while the promo was on, and it was good. It was a little verbose, but it's kind of fun that The Rock is so engaged that he would do that and put that time, effort, and energy in. And I have to say, you know, I actually think what he did in that promo was better than what he did on the air tonight. And we'll talk about this, but I think he told a more of a story. This wasn't just catchphrase Rock, diss the town they're in. You know, give a bunch of sound bites. Like he went into depth about his thought process about what he told Cody, you know, Cody saying, okay, he agreed this was best for business to have The Rock versus Roman Mania.
Somebody explain that about time, because I'm tired of everybody making Cody out to be a victim of The Rock. He started to take his main event when Cody is the one who brought him into the mix. So I'm glad that The Rock had to explain that, because Cody, he ain't done that. But yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. So that was good. Is there anything else in the? Because we're going to talk a lot of this folds into SmackDown tonight.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of this is about Cody Rhodes' real story.
Yeah.
You know, like the Cody Rhodes who's on TV. Yes, he gave it away. But the Cody Rhodes, you know, in real life didn't give it away. And I think that's the Cody Rhodes that people responded to when they saw the look on his face. You know, he did, you know, it was taken from him. He did really want it. So it's like we have these dueling narratives, this on-screen one and this off-screen one, with a lot of parallels.
Yeah. It's interesting.
He's a good actor. Good for him.
Great. Do Okay, so before we get into any other news, and
he ain't that good. I've seen him act. He's not that, you know.
Well, I mean, there's Pain and Gain Rock, and then there's.
No, I'm talking about Cody. I'm not talking about the Rock. I'm talking about Cody and that face he made at the end. Like, oh, look at what I'm doing for the business. Face that he made at the end of it. Like, he didn't pre-calculate this whole thing.
That was an Arrow level guest starring performance.
Yeah.
Well, if that's what happened, then it worked, you know? I mean, it was really effective. So, God, I mean, that's even more impressive.
Yeah. It's interesting to think that WWE would be so naive, though, that their hardcore fan base would have been okay with that. That they would have all said, like, oh, it makes sense. We're going to step aside our hopes and dreams and let The Rock have this
match. The mistake was the Rumble. The Rumble should have gone to somebody else if you were planning on doing Roman and The Rock.
I mean, you'd think, right?
Or win on Cody, everybody's going to expect that. And there's no way out of this. And that's what, I mean, I'm enjoying this. So don't get me wrong. I think it's been a fun ride, right? But if Cody gets eliminated, yes, we're going to boo, whatever. You might get a 2015 redo. But there's not that expectation of, oh, he won, he's going to finish the story. You know, like, it's, to me, it feels like deja vu. It doesn't feel like a repeat. But again, if you don't give him the Rumble win, this would have been a whole different, you know, it would have been a lot easier to get out of the situation.
Hmm. Sting's final match is going to main event Revolution.
What else would have? Isn't the whole pay-per-view are surrounding that?
I was hoping Meat Madness was going to headline that.
In my heart, Meat Madness is always the main event.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, with the main event of Revolution, I am going to Revolution. Got my tickets and looking very much forward to it. What else were they going to main event with? You know, you're going to have, it's Tony Khan. So you're going to have streamers, you're going to have appreciation, you're going to have a bunch of old wrestlers out there. It's going to be a party. And, you know, you don't want to clear all that stuff up for a different match afterwards.
I assume that as soon as they announced this, especially so far in advance, that Sting's last match will be at Revolution, that it will be the main event and we will build this pay-per-view around it. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a legend we're talking about. It's his last match. I'm very excited to see it. And I think it's going to be emotional, especially for his hardcore fan base. But I never thought, like, I saw that in the news today, and I was like, yeah, what else was going to main event? I think it would have been news if that wasn't the main event, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting. Also, Meltzer reported the footage that AEW has rights to, because I'm sure they're going to do a career retrospective before, and it's going to be interesting to see how they do that, because they are not going to have any of the WWE, the WCW, or the NWA footage that WWE owns in that retrospective.
Yeah, well, that's their prerogative. I mean, they own it. It's their footage. It would be a nice thing to do. But I, you know, even though it's a, you know, a lot of ways a bigger and brighter day in WWE, their dislike of AEW and their competition with AEW is just as real their way as it is the other way. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. And while there's been reports about some WWE legends that won't be attending, we did find out today that former NWA United States Heavyweight Champion, will be there, Magnum TA. So that'd be cool.
That'd be great. And I think Lex was kind of alluding to the fact that he might be there too.
Yeah.
Which is great because I love Lex as a human being and as a wrestler. And I think it's great.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting Sunday. Is there anything else you're looking forward to on the card?
Of course, seeing FTR, you know, seeing FTR and Eddie Kingston against the BCC. It's a stacked card, man. There's nothing that I'm like saying, oh, that's not that great, you know? It's in AEW's pay-per-views, even if you're not into them, they're always good. Like, they're always good, unless Chris Jericho's wrestling Adam Cole, then they're not so great.
See, Issa, anything else you're looking forward to?
The world title picture. You know, I think Swerve, Samoa Joe, Hangman have done a good job with that program. I also think that I'm very happy that Toni Storm and Deanna Purrazzo are going into this pay-per-view with an actual storyline that has been going on for a little bit. And it's not just, let's just put the women out there with some random match because we got to put the women out there. If this story has felt organic, at first I was like, oh, we're going to put Deanna in the world title picture immediately, but it hasn't felt forced. It's been great. So I'm actually very excited for the women's match because it makes sense. And that's something that we don't get all the time from them.
And I feel like with big business coming up March 13th, the impending debut of Mercedes Moné, this is going to be perhaps the end of an era in the women's division. I really have hopes that Mercedes is going to help elevate the women's division in AEW when she debuts.
We talked about it on Wednesday. It takes more than one person, but it could be the beginning of a turnaround, and I'm hoping that that is exactly what happens.
Yeah. Did you see that backstage footage of Sammy Guevara with Tony Khan and Tony's like graph paper that he writes out the match builds on and everything?
No, I missed that. What was
that? Meltzer and Alvarez were talking about this. Like, people are frustrated that Tony's like changing things all the time. And then this footage came out that was from social media. And it's just like Tony legit just has like a piece of paper where he like scribbles down, like, here's our outline of everything that's going on in AEW. So
that's one way to do it. You know, I'm very similar to Tony Khan, except, of course, I'm not rich, you know, in that I have a business. I like things off the top of my head. You know, I like to create on the fly. But what I have found, and this is going to shock some people, is that preparation, organization, communication, things that those of us who are passionate enough to start businesses aren't necessarily great at, those things actually turn out to be not only important, but crucial. So, you know, hopefully he comes around on it.
Yeah. Man, I'm looking forward to, just to jump back to WWE for a second. It's funny that every year I go through the same process of saying, I'm not going to pre-order the new WWE game. And then we get closer and they reveal the roster, talk about the features, the stories, the modes, the My Rise trailer. And every year I break down at the last minute and get my pre-order in. So I'm really looking forward to when that hits next week. Yeah, you guys excited about the game at all?
Well, you know, this is going to shock some people, but I don't play video games. You know, I'm a big guy who watches wrestling and enjoys nerd stuff sometimes, but no video games. I got too much to do.
Yeah. You say you're going to play it this year?
No, I haven't bought it in a while. I don't know that I'm going to buy this, but if I buy it, I will buy the one with Rhea and Bianca in the cover because that is the only cover I'm willing to acknowledge.
It's weird that I play the My GM mode, which technologically you could do on a Commodore 64. It's barely even a game. You draft a roster, you build the matches, you build the feuds, you look at attendance and money and star ratings, and it's like so simple. But I get really into that every year. For
that sounds fun to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, now, Issa, this might shock you, on 2K23, on NXT 2.0, my women's champion was Nikita Lyons on my last season.
No, I'm not surprised by that.
Yes.
It doesn't shock me one bit.
I mean, I might be interested in starting a Twitter account just to like criticize your every move as a GM, because that's kind of what I do, you know. But, you know, I don't know if I'd play, but I'd definitely do that. I'd definitely be like, why is Glenn opening with this match? It's not going to draw any money. That's terrible. Oh, where's the story, Glenn? Where is it?
Yes. And that's, you know, I wish they would let you do a little more with that, with the story and whatnot there, because you just book it. But in your head, you have to think about this. We're like, oh, this was so fire when Dakota Kai interrupted this match. You can actually watch the simulated matches, but I don't have time for that. I just click simulate and get my star rating and go on to the next. But we got Super Chat here, and then we're going to get into SmackDown tonight because it was a big one. Yes, boy, $5. Off topic, but got tickets for Dune 2 tomorrow. I like the first one, but has anyone heard of the crazy reviews? What should I expect? People are hyping up this movie so much. I have not seen the first Dune yet. I'm waiting till Dune 2 comes out on home video, and then I will watch both. But the hype for this, not since like Barbenheimer have I seen people so excited about a movie.
Yeah, there are a couple of people in my chat bringing it up today that they went to see it, and they really liked it. So, it sounds like people are excited for it. I love that because, I don't know, it doesn't feel like movies feel like they used to anymore. So I always love when there's a movie people are hyped about.
True, true.
Yeah, I'm out of the loop on Dune a little bit, but, I mean, he's just right. Like, the movie magic has been gone since the quarantine, you know, and it hasn't really returned.
Everything changed after that. Mm-hmm.
Like Madam Web failed to bring it back.
You know, and like the moments I had sitting in the theater waiting for Endgame to begin, I don't know if we'll ever do that again. You know, it was a different time.
I saw Fast X in theaters, and that was, I had mixed feelings about the movie Magic of Fast X.
I saw Fast X in theaters, but I take my dad to see all the Fast and the Furious movies. It's like a tradition thing, so I always enjoy it, no matter what. Have I gone back and watched it? No.
I watched Fast X again. Fast 9, I will never watch again. That's the only Fast and the Furious movie that I have no desire. Like, it was just so dull and boring.
You know, things really escalated there, didn't it? Like, they were just, like, street racing one day.
Oh, yeah. And they were in space in a car,
Right. Then they go to, like, you know, driving into a helicopter. You're like, all right. Then you've got, like, space, you know. I think next will be Vin Diesel as God.
Yes. There's only one left.
That's it.
Fast
or so they say.
Or so, well, one of the main cast. Mike Martin saying what we're all thinking, that Issa's hair tonight, so on point.
It looks good.
Thank you, guys. I got a lot of beach this week, so it's my post-beach hair.
Nice. Okay, let's hop into it. Talk about SmackDown.
Yes, let's.
So we open with Roman Reigns.
All right. Glenn, how many times have we gone over this? All right. Okay. You can do this.
We open with Roman Reigns. He comes out. Glorious. Skin glowing.
You're already wrong. You said we open with our tribal chief. That's how you're supposed to say. We open with our tribal chief, Roman Reigns, who came out looking absolutely incredible. He doesn't have to try hard with a three-piece suit or some Versace shirt. Just the tracksuit, and he still looks as beautiful as ever. Fresh new cut, straight out of the salon. The beard was trimmed. We're getting the grays, which is super sexy, as he slowly makes his way to the ring. You can continue.
He asked the crowd to acknowledge him. Multiple times.
Yes.
He was not satisfied with their acknowledgement, so he was going to leave. So then The Rock came out.
He fulfilled his control agreement, he said.
Yes. So The Rock came out and had words for the audience. Where they were in Arizona, Tempe, I believe.
Glendale,
pardon me. Near the meth and cocaine capital of America.
Yeah. I Googled this, and it came out on number 6 for me, so I don't know what search engine The Rock is using.
Maybe Rock's working off old stats, you know? You know, the thing is about Roman, and I'm sorry, Issa, but it's until the very last moment of this, I felt like, you know, Roman's been definitely damaged by this whole thing and defined down. Even standing next to The Rock in there, he's a little bit shorter. You know, he's a little bit quiet, and The Rock has such a magnetism. I'm glad they did the thing at the end because, you know, I was like, dude, Roman is getting big brothered again.
Yeah.
And there's nothing he can do because The Rock is The Rock, you know. But all they could have done is what they did, which is a creative answer, which is, hey, you have to acknowledge me. And I was sitting at home. I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, and so it was Roman lost a little luster for me for a bit, but I tell you that was a great idea.
Yeah, he didn't lose any luster for me. I'm sorry, Matt, but you don't need to talk. Some people are tryhards and they just talk and they come out and they be like, "Why you guys want to talk about?" And they talk for 20 minutes. Roman talks with his actions. We got 1,279 days of action. You don't need to talk. It's all about the energy.
12 matches.
You know? Yeah, this year. This is 3 years we're talking about. He just started doing the part-time like a year ago. But that's what everybody wants to throw at them because that's the only comeback that they have. So anyways, Glenn.
I did feel like The Rock chachied him a little bit.
He did. And that's what made that moment at the end more impactful.
They set it up. Mm-hmm. They set it up.
It was like exactly how it was supposed to go.
They actually set that one up and it worked perfectly because... You know, he's like, the crowd's not acknowledging me. I'm going to ask him again. I'm not getting what I want. Let's go ahead creatively, hit the nose on the head right here, hit the nail on the head, and say, let's just address this. And then this all relates to the question, you know? Really well done by WWE.
I think that, okay, so let me have some real talk for a second here. And The Rock, please don't put this in your next Instagram video the way you did Busted Open today. I thought that his Instagram promo had a lot of substance, had a lot of variance, and told a really good story. The Rock has a very charismatic presence, and he was great on the mic. But dude, like, it felt like there was a lot of placeholder in there that never got changed. It's just like, get a thesaurus, consult ChatGPT, have somebody else do a second pass at it. He kept coming back to cocaine, meth, crack. He called Seth a clown like four times. It was like, just change this up a little bit. Like, your delivery is on point, dude, but the substance of this is very repetitive. And I thought that, again, the delivery was A level, but the material was kind of B minus for a lot
of it. It's very hard to have the delivery that you're expecting from The Rock. I see your point. But The Rock here is just now doing, if you really think about it, just doing the work for Roman. He's being a lackey for Roman, because even the stipulation he put into the match for WrestleMania, it benefits Roman. And I feel like The Rock will be a lot more efficient if he was cutting a promo with somebody that's going to go against him. If he was in an actual feud, he's in a weird love triangle right now. Sure, so he's trying to do his best.
But it's just the insults, like, variety.
He's stuck in the Attitude Era. He never traveled back from it, and that's the problem. Like, we were beyond that, and it's your heel 101 from way back in the day. That's what he was giving you today, and I don't know that that's fulfilling anymore.
Too repetitive.
I think The Rock has shown that sometimes it takes a little bit to adjust to a new character. Mm. You know, when he first came as Hollywood Rock, that did not really work, you know?
Yeah.
And it finally, you know, came around. And then when he came back against Cena, a lot of that stuff, you know, the team Bring It and all that stuff didn't necessarily hit the way it was supposed to. And he had to kind of find the way through it. It's very similar to what happened with Cena, because they found a rhythm that was based in reality, that wasn't based on what they planned. And it turned out great. And I think that's what we're kind of seeing now. But it might take The Rock a little while to find that voice, to find that tone.
Yeah. Right. I love that. That's actually a good point. But my favorite moment was the acknowledgement part. I feel like, yes, a swerve will come eventually, but it was, for Roman Reigns fans at least, I think it was very enjoyable. And I do think that everybody just audibly gasped when Roman said, "You have to acknowledge me," just to see how The Rock will react to that. And that's exactly what you want out of this. However, I'm not falling for it. But the most important part here is the stipulation.
Oh, yes.
We know that Cody Rhodes called out The Rock for a one-on-one match in the Grayson Waller Effect segment of Elimination Chamber. The Rock came out today and said, no. Shout out to Glenn for being the very first person to predict this at Vegas. As soon as he saw what was happening, he said it's going to be a tag match. The Rock has responded and said, I'll take you in a tag match. Night one, Roman and The Rock versus Cody and Seth, the stipulation. If Cody and Seth wins, no bloodline. Quotation marks, I say. Night two, but if The Rock and Roman win, there will be bloodline rules to the Undisputed Universal Championship match. And I think because everything that happened, that kind of got lost in the shuffle, this is humongous.
Yeah. No, it really is. It really, really is.
Yeah, you definitely said a couple of interesting things there. You said, you know, I'm not buying it. You know, like, The Rock has probably sent something up. And you also put quotation marks over the words bloodline, because we know Tama Tonga's arrived.
Oh,
we know Jacob Fatu is out there, and we know, he hasn't been reported as signed or anything, but he's not been reported as signed anywhere. So you never know what's going to happen that way.
And there's also all bloodline members that could sign with Cody. When I do the quotations, I'm also including Sami Zayn or Jey Uso coming in, Kevin Owens to back up Cody Rhodes. Like, this could really be something where you see like a full blown, they try to call it a civil era before bloodline civil era, what, civil war. Remember that match? But this could really, if the bloodline happens to be involved, this could really be an all out, you did me wrong, and everybody comes out and it will be a mess. And at the end, Roman will still win.
Yeah, I think Monday I called it the Avengers. You know, it's and that's what will happen if Cody and Seth lose, which they probably will, and then it's bloodline rules, and then and then who comes out? Maybe even Drew, Sammy, Jay, you know, all these different people. It will be, because even Drew with his new belt coming out to say, okay, well, you know, I'm still a champion, and I'm going to get mine against the bloodline a little bit. So you never know.
You know what I love about this, Love for Nothing, is like I feel all of us have a different scenario in our heads. Because for me, if they lose night one and you can play beat up Seth Rollins from doing the tag match, he loses the title opening night two. Seth is the one that turns on Cody, cost Cody the match because Cody cost everything to Seth for Seth trying to be a Shield. I feel like there's so many things that you could do that is going to make that night two main event must watch television. It could go so many ways.
And it's not like Damian Priest is not going to be teased or show up or flash a briefcase a little bit.
He's cashing in at WrestleMania. You know,
and that's the cash in. I was there at 31 with Seth cash in. It's probably the most electric moment I've ever been to ever in a wrestling match.
No, definitely. And I think the same sides cannot win both nights. Cody doesn't sweep. Cody doesn't win night one and night two.
He doesn't win at all. Good.
Okay, so wait, you think The Rock and Roman win night one and then Roman wins night two? Actually, the Bloodline rules makes it more believable the win, but then
for Roman to win on night two. I don't see. Yeah.
That would be okay, but wait a second. So last year we had a little bit of Bloodline interference, teensy bit. Causing Cody to lose at Mania. You think they're gonna WWE is gonna follow that up?
No, Cody, it's gonna be Seth. It's gonna be Seth. Okay. It's gonna be his own shield turning on him. It's not gonna be the Bloodline is gonna get involved. It's gonna be a mess, but it's gonna be somebody that Cody is not ready for. If Seth ends up losing everything to be a part of a battle that he never had to fight in, I mean the Seth that I fell in love with, Matt just brought him up. He ain't no shield for nobody. The set that I love is the jerk. Because, however, if, let's say that my scenario is what plays out, whoever caused Cody that, if it's not a Bloodline person, needs to be ready to take all the heat in the world. And Seth has already been there when he broke up the shield. He's perfect.
So, Matt, how would you feel about that? And Cody loses again at WrestleMania.
Well, in the words of The Rock, it doesn't matter how I feel. I believe for non-storyline reasons that Cody Rhodes is not going to win. I believe that with all my heart because it's kind of what Issa was alluding to earlier about how, why did he win the Rumble? And you're like, there's some confusion there. I believe there is there's different viewpoints within the WWE about Cody Rhodes. And the people who had the viewpoint have the viewpoint that, he should win. They've been running the company. And the people that have the viewpoint that maybe he shouldn't win are now running the company. So I just don't think they believe in Cody Rhodes. We saw what happened last year. We saw what happened at with them bringing The Rock in. And if they don't believe in him where they like that, I don't think they're letting him leave that with the title, especially getting a little rub from The Rock and Roman. That's too much for someone that they don't believe in that I think they should.
I also think that because the story feels like such a big deal, and I will try to take away my Roman crazy fandom for 1 second. I personally, and this is me, and I might be biased. I am biased, okay? But I feel like the story should come to a finish in a real legitimate field. This is how I'm going to win the Rumble. He's doing the same thing he did last year, and he failed. I want to see a different story being told for that to finally happen. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I know that I joke about it, like the whole definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same result. He's literally trying to get to finish a story with the same route he took last year, and it didn't work out for him. I want to see an actual feud between Cody and Roman or something different, something more personal. Winning a Rumble and going on to WrestleMania doesn't feel like it's a real feud. I mean, they're making it feel that way, but they were forcing to it, right? Because of the whole Rock and how everything fell apart. It has felt a little bit better than what it felt last year. But I feel like the moment should feel like a bigger deal whenever it is that it happens, if it ever happens.
I will respect the conviction WWE has if Cody loses again at WrestleMania. That will just be an amazing, like, sticking to their guns. Well, in Philadelphia, no less.
Yeah. There's some bad history with fans turning on events in Philadelphia for WWE. And I think it would be a shame. I know Issa loves Roman and Issa wants a different story. But for me, it's Cody's time. The real story of Cody Rhodes, which people know because Everybody's on the internet now. Everybody's on Wikipedia now. Everybody knows that Cody left and started a company. Everybody knows that Cody was Stardust. Everybody knows that, you know, he was, you know, mate could have won last year and then narratively lost. And everybody's seen what Cody's been doing, man. He's doing gender reveals. He's buying entire classes of kids tickets to Mania. He's picking up little boys who are crying at the events. He's
changing flat tires in the parking lot.
I think he helped birth a baby at a house show. I think he delivered a baby. He's doing everything. So, you know, Cody's like, relax, get some towels.
Cody's like the kid that really wants to get elected class president. And it's just like, we need tutoring. You need like somebody to carry your books. Like, what do you need?
I will show my baby back in there. You're not helping me. If I want my gender reveal being done by Roman Reigns and this tryhard comes in, you'd be like, give me the envelope. I'd be like, not you. Listen, Cody the person was a great person. I think he does incredible things. Cody, what we give us on TV to some people, it's just a crybaby. It does come up that way. It's the same thing. He hasn't had any character development up until this point. He's the same guy that showed up 2 years ago.
Yeah, so, but it is working though. You know, like Cody's getting great responses, and I think people want to see him in that position. And his character, true, he hasn't really had changed, but he really hasn't had to change that much, you know. We'll see what happens, but man, I don't know, man. We will agree on that. I don't see him walking out of the Mania with that belt.
Okay. No, I'm curious to see how it all goes. But
it's fascinating, I'll tell you that much.
Oh yeah. I mean, the story behind the story is wonderful, right? I mean, it's like, what is gonna happen is this is a great thing to speculate on. So so this promo ended tonight where The Rock went to do a few smell, and then Roman was like, yo, before you do that, I need you to acknowledge me. And The Rock acknowledged Roman Reigns as the tribal chief. It's very interesting.
Damn right.
And then Roman
would have been kicked out of the family if you did.
Yeah. And then Roman finished and said, you know, if you smell it, the bloodline is cooking. So there is a little bit more.
It will live in my head rent-free, even though there will be a turn eventually, but it was awesome.
They were power sharing tonight. They were saying that, you know what, this is a two-player game. We're gonna share the remote and democratically decide what we're gonna watch on TV tonight. It's a beautiful moment between cousins.
Yeah, and
they're watching TV. They're gonna pick what shot of Terramana they're gonna do. He has a couple of multiple terms. They ain't watching TV.
They're watching TV.
it was a great moment. And as a plot line device, it's a very cool, like open-ended thing that I don't know if they're 100% sure where it's going, but they said, what bad thing could happen if we have The Rock? Okay, well, acknowledge the chief, and it could go this way, go that way, go this way, and they're not really painted in any corner, which creatively is a smart choice and has worked for WWE in the recent past.
Yeah. This was cool. This was the first 40 minutes of the show.
I didn't mind the time. I saw a lot of people minding the time. I didn't mind at all. 40 minutes, I was entertained. At no point was I like, this sucked, or I was bored, or whatever. I'm fine.
Same. I didn't mind the time at all.
And next week, they're going to be there again. Cody's going to respond either Monday or Friday. I think Cody's going to be there next Friday. So, Seth, Cody versus Roman and The Rock, night one. If they win, no bloodline, night two. If they lose, bloodline rules for Cody versus Roman, night two of Mania. You're going to start hearing the term co-main event being tossed around soon. Specifically, probably about Becky versus Rhea, night one. Maybe Seth versus Drew, night two. Maybe Bayley versus Io, night two. But yeah, we know that this tag match is main eventing night one, and Cody versus Roman is main eventing night two.
And with that, Roman will be the WWE person with the most WrestleMania main events in history. If he main evented just night two, he would have been tying the record. But now if he gets both nights, we are breaking a record. That's what he does every day.
You know, I've been always said that if there's two main events, there's no main events, right? Yeah, two night is an exception, right? Because there's a main event each night.
But night two is the match, though. We all know that.
It's all about day two in this recent history of two WrestleManias. You know, it's kind of a big deal. You know, does he headline night two? But you're going to hear co-main events, but if there's two main events, there's no main event. Mm. And this year, it just so happens, this is the hot feud. It's not about fairness or equality, because I, in every situation, would say, hey, let's put everybody on the same area. But right now, there's one feud, one group of people that are dominating the ratings, dominating the talk. It's the Bloodline, Seth, Cody Rhodes. That's who should main event.
Yeah. So, also Solo Sikoa might be singing the national anthem.
That was funny.
If they win the tag match night one, because the Bloodline is going to apparently take over all of WrestleMania night two.
I hear he sings like Whitney.
Solo looked like, dude, what? I don't do that in front of people. Like, he just had this look that was so good tonight during this. It was fun. It was a very fun segment. But please get some synonyms for clown, Rock, when you're dissing Seth.
Yes, come up with some other mime. Stuff.
we'll workshop some new insults for the Rock to call. Seth, let's talk about what happened after this, which was Australia's sweetheart, Tiffany Stratton, who was so massively over at Elimination Chamber. And tonight, crowd still seemed really into her. Her and Naomi had to follow this opening segment. Matt, how do you think they did?
I thought they did good. You know, it's one of these things. I think people, you can understand it. You know, they're saying, well, Naomi came back, she's losing. I think Naomi is coming back to the exact same spot she left in, which is not a bad spot. It's not the top spot. It touches the top spot once in a while. But I don't know what the heck's on with this Tiffany Stratton girl. This girl was signed by WWE 2.5 years ago, August. It'll be 3 years in August, as someone who didn't really watch wrestling, didn't really want to be a wrestler, was a gymnast, you know, had her first match just over 2 years ago. And something happened in that Elimination Chamber where she just got beat up a bit, went a bit crazy, and now she is unstoppable. 24 years old, everything WWE wanted Austin Theory to be. She is. She is fantastic. And gets it on a very high level. And we're going to be like 2 years from now, it's going to be crazy that she's 24 and she's really good.
Yeah. Issa, what'd you think of this?
Yeah, I thought they had a solid match. They have very good chemistry. Being a big fan of Tiffany since the beginning, and it's just been so much fun to watch her develop and get better and better. I don't have a problem with what they're doing with Naomi right now. I'm just keeping an eye on it. I love the way that you put it, saying she came back to the spot she was in, because it does feel that way. But yeah, if you got to strike while the iron is hot, and Tiffany seems to be very over, the Elimination Chamber, keep going, the momentum. I always use this example, but I do feel like the way that Puerto Rico responded to Io really turned things around for her, and it really started a momentum. And I think that you can take advantage from that, from the way that people react and seeing that, and see if you can carry that momentum elsewhere, and it works. That's so true. Yeah, I think it was great. And it's just been so much fun to watch Tiffany and to see her grow and get even better at what she does. Like you said, she's going to be something special, and we're all getting to watch it from the beginning.
That amazing / legendary Puerto Rico show, you know, had a lasting permanent effect on Zelina's career. Zelina is in a different position now, seen differently forever, because of one crowd seeing something in her. I would say maybe even like the British crowd with Bailey singing her song that many years ago. She's been seen differently ever since. It just takes one crowd to get somebody in one way, and it can have a permanent effect.
Well, I think if history has shown us anything, whether it's NXS, Kylie Minogue, Natalie Imbruglia, or the movie Crocodile Dundee, where Australia goes, America follows, and Tiffany Stratton has now got the rocket on her back in WWE.
There was some tenuous connections, but good job. I'll take it.
Yeah. We're going to skip Yahoo Serious, because that one didn't quite, Young Einstein didn't really connect. But, you know, for the most part, Australia makes the taste in America. But no, I think that, you know, both her and Grayson Waller looked like $1 million. I mean, Rhea already did, but Grayson and Tiffany like benefited so greatly from Elimination Chamber. And this was a great match with Naomi tonight. I think they're going to keep this program going between the two of them. I'll be very curious to see if this is something that happens in Mania. But Tiffany is.
I think as of right now, it's going to be Tiffany and Bianca. I mean, I know we didn't see that interaction tonight, but I think that's where they're going with that, based on that press conference in Australia. That's how it felt like to me.
Yeah, and you know, Tiffany did herself a lot of favors in Australia. I feel, I don't know if it's going to be Naomi, but it seems to me like Naomi and Tiffany Stratton should be the match that goes around the loop that they do every house show just to get Tiffany there. Naomi is that perfect. She's falling into that Natalya-type position where she can show you the ropes. She can show you how to work. She can show you all the stuff you need to know. Let's work with Naomi for a few months on every house show and watch what Tiffany does.
How much better must the money and the perks be for Naomi, who 6 weeks ago was a champion in TNA Impact, to then be like, no, I want to go to WWE and take some L's and help develop a new superstar?
100 times better. Like, it's 100 times better. There's, I mean, how many people in Impact, if WWE came to them and said, you can come here, Impact will let you out of your contract, you can come here, how many would say no?
Yeah, I don't know.
Very few. WWE is, and AEW too, as a work environment, pay, travel, everything, fame, everything, is it's multiples in WWE that it is an Impact.
Yeah, you guys know people. Nobody tells me anything. Like, does Impact have catering?
They do. They do.
Okay.
Yeah, because they have long tapings.
That's true. I mean, and but is it like catering, or is it like we sent out for like Dave's Hot Chicken?
Now that I don't know. Yeah. But WWE catering is awesome. It is great.
We also have on good authority that NXT catering, no slouch either in that department.
Dude, they don't mess around. I bet Tony Khan catering is good too. Mm. I don't know for a fact, but I mean, it's not like he's like, no, that's too expensive, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to ponder.
Just lobsters and caviar every meal at AEW.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, okay, so let's talk about this. This on any other show would have been like the biggest thing, but the Kabuki Warriors with Io Sky took on Bayley and Dakota Kai. And as predicted, Dakota Kai faked the attack on herself last week and jumped back from the ring in a weird mimicking of what the way Bayley turned on Sasha Banks. Same jump back. Dakota Kai's throwing in with the rest of Damage Control, and now they're all against Bayley. So man, it's a shame Mercedes couldn't come out and make the save, because that would have been a hell of a Mania match. But Issa, what do you think of this turn that everybody saw coming?
I feel like, as predictable as it was, it still stung a little. It still made an impact. It was like, it was that moment when Dakota proves us right, but we were all the disappointed parents. I'm not mad at you. I'm disappointed. That's exactly how I feel. And you know, that's the worst line you could be hit with. But yeah, it was predictable. But it's taking the story where it needs to go. And I still found it impactful, even though I saw it come.
What makes the predictable enjoyable, right, is performance. Mm-hmm. Bayley has been fantastic in this role. Someone who's just been just working overtime, trying to get the crowd to boo her, and succeeding quite often, you know, has really turned on the facial expressions, the talking, everything from this plot line, this storyline, which obviously was probably leading to a four horsewomen thing when they had inroads with Sasha and Charlotte was healthy. What else are you going to do with these four? That's what was going to happen. And now Bayley's got to carry this whole thing. And guess what? It works. And Bayley is a sympathetic figure and also has an undercurrent of being beloved. So I think it's worked out great for him, even though he lost out four horsewomen feud.
Yeah. Now I'll tell you, if we'd had the four horsewomen feud, whether it was a tag match or a fatal four way, and that didn't main event night one, I would be free. I would put the Cody crybabies to shame with my response to that.
They wouldn't need it, because you imagine Sasha doing a rescue, and last is like Charlotte doing a rescue or something. Oh my God. Like, the place would actually, Sasha would be last. You know, that'd be like, oh, it's 4-on-3. Sasha shows up at Elimination Chamber. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
That would headline for sure.
Yeah. But this was good. I'm excited to see where it goes. And then Bron Breakker squashed Zion Quinn in less than the time it took me to say that sentence.
Issa's busy, so I'll talk. Bron Breakker, you know, is exactly how you want to debut somebody, but he's pulling it off. It's not kind of this forced thing like we saw a little bit with Ryback. He is just killing people out there. I look for him to either be against Gunther or be part of a multi-man against Gunther at WrestleMania. He's obviously, he looks great. He's main card ready.
Absolutely.
Comical funny. I loved it. We talk about the difference in squash matches. This was effective. I loved everything about it. I thought it was great.
Backstage, Nick Aldis was going to talk to Jade Cargill. So.
Terrible GM.
We'll see. Yeah, I still think it could be Jade versus Bianca at Mania.
I don't know.
I think maybe Jade should wait. Because they haven't done anything yet.
I know.
So anything we do is going to be an exhibition where she better come off like Bron Breakker, or it's going to be kind of some kind of forced feud like Bianca. Like, hey, well, these two would look good together in the ring. Let's put them in there. You know, that it might work because Bianca's freaking awesome, but I think let's debut her the day after WrestleMania.
Okay. We'll see. Again, this would have been major news on any other, I mean, still major news, but this would have been the high point of the night. Santos Escobar versus Carlito in a street fight. LWO got involved. Los Lobos Locos got involved.
Yes, they did.
Hope they contain themselves on that full moon this past weekend. But the big news is that Rey Mysterio's back.
Booyaka.
And cleared. Came out on crutches. It was like, oh, he's probably not cleared yet. And then throwing the crutches, beating people with the crutches and hitting the 619. So I think we're getting Rey versus Santos at Mania.
One of the oldest tricks in the book, but it still works.
He said, you should just walk around with crutches in day-to-day life, just so that way if you need to get into a fight, you can just throw the crutches down and, you know, be like, I'm good to go, you know?
I actually really like this match. I like seeing Carlito get the win here.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, they haven't really done much with Carlito since that amazing pop he got at his return. So this felt good. You have Ray back. LWO feels together again. I still think that Carlito will turn on Rey eventually, but I think we're gonna do the Santos Escobar versus Rey Mysterio first. But I still think that's coming.
Matt, do you think LWO needed Rey back at this point?
Yeah, I mean, you know, because Joaquin and the other fella are always treated as inferior to Humberto and Angel Garza, you know. And Rey immediately bolsters him up. But what's more important is the fans were really, really into this.
And, oh, yeah.
I mean, just it was a great segment. Another long-term mid-card feud, you know. And they're taking care of the plot lines at the top all the way through the bottom. And the more I think about it, you know, the SmackDown kind of ruled.
Yeah. They had to cram a lot into the second half.
It was a good SmackDown. I was quite entertained throughout the entire show.
You got the Bailey thing. You got the Santos thing. You got the Rock asking, telling Roman Reigns he's the tribal chief. Oh. What?
Crazy.
What?
I'm going to fall asleep with that on a loop tonight.
If he just could have varied up the insults for Seth, I would have been so much more satisfied.
You bozo.
you clown emoji, you clown, like, dude, like, something, anything else. Okay, so let's Carlito won, good for him. Ray's back. I'm curious to see where this goes. The LWO needs this. The LWO a year ago was so hot in the WWE, or coming out of Mania, especially Backlash.
Let's put the name of the LWO on a t-shirt hanging above a ladder and have a 4-on-4 match at Mania.
Oh, for the legacy, yes.
I love that.
Do you think this feud ends and they just come together and it's the Legado LWO?
It's too many. Let's hope not. Yeah.
I know. It'd be weird.
You can be Legado World Order, then it can still be LWO.
Yeah. True. Issa, then your tattoo is still 100% valid. Two meanings. So after that, we had New Catch Republic, everybody's favorite name for a tag team, asking Nick Aldis for another shot at Judgment Day.
They came off bad here.
Yes.
Tyler Bate came off whiny, and Pete Dunne came off, you know, not really effective at all. It seems like, you know, it's like instead of being like, you know, assertive, they were kind of like, oh, come on, man, give us a shot. You know, we did it. But it should have been just like, we're fearsome dudes because they can pull that off. You know, Tyler Bate hasn't had a ton of experience on the main roster. I think there's still a lot of room left for this tag team. Again, with the tag team championships, I probably look for a multi-man or Awesome Truth at Mania. If it's a multi-man, that'd be a good way of getting Sami Zayn in because maybe him and Kevin can team together and be part of the tag team match.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the problem, though, when you build a tag team to a championship match and then they lose. It's just kind of like, okay, now you kind of lost your credit momentum. It's very hard to keep that second attempt credible. We also saw LA Knight looking for AJ Styles backstage. LA Knight had a chair.
Are you interested in this feud at all?
I mean, I'm interested. Did AJ make it back or did he fall off the earth?
That's funny.
He made it back, but Nick Aldis said, I told him not to be here. What kind of GM is that?
When AJ went to Australia, did he discover the world was round?
I mean, he was on a plane. He saw the horizon, but he might think that was an effect of the plane window.
Maybe like things are like little pictures on the windows, you know? So he thinks, oh, it's fake. It's a conspiracy. I mean, I'll do a lot of things for spite. I will. I'll do more.
I will go to Australia to kick somebody's butt that I have beef with. Oh, I would do it in a heartbeat.
I would probably do that, and I probably wouldn't fly to Australia to see the love of my life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, same.
I don't know why. I know it's wrong, but I'd be on there tomorrow if I knew I could take care of some business.
Welcome to the petty club. I would do that too.
I respect the pettiness for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, this feud is going to continue. We'll see what happens in their build towards potentially a Mania match. But then backstage, Randy Orton was fed up with Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. And we had this main event of Austin Theory versus Randy Orton with Kevin Owens on commentary. Matt, what do you think? When you have someone like KO on commentary, do you find it harder? And I'm not saying this was a bad match, but do you find it a little bit harder to pay attention to the match because Kevin is so... he was doing like podcast style ads for Progressive tonight. Like he's so involved and so charismatic that it really becomes, pardon the pun, the KO show.
It depends on his intent. When Kevin Owens' intent is towards the match, towards the feud, towards what's going on, he's great on that commentary. Mm-hmm. You know, and this might not have been the time for the lighthearted thing because we're trying to sell some stuff that's a little bit more serious, but... you know, a little bit of fun by the commentary table never hurt anybody.
Yeah. Issa, what'd you think of the match itself?
Oh my God, that already KO.
Yeah.
And they repeated it in slow motion. It's beautiful. So beautiful. I like the match. I thought it was great. I think Kevin Owens was on commentary to make sure that we would stop staring at Randy Orton's legs. Hmm. So he will say something and then it will help people stop staring at Randy Orton's legs.
That man saw Drew McIntyre on TV and said, you know, I need to put on some weight. Because Orton is huge. He is as big as I think he's ever been. And just a point about Orton that I think is interesting. I don't think Orton is ever going to be the guy to hang around too long. I also don't think he's going to be the guy who does the big goodbye. I think one day Orton's just going to stop wrestling. And,
wow.
And I think that he's wrestling a lot like that guy. He's wrestling a lot like he's doing things he wouldn't normally do. Taking risks he wouldn't normally take. He seems to be having a lot of fun out there.
He's having, I love that you brought that up. Elimination Chamber, I'm watching him. I'm like, man, Randy's having a blast. That RKO Logan Paul, the way that it was just a normal RKO, the camera angle really helped it. But it was just like, you could just tell this guy's just having a blast out there. And maybe, Matt, to your point, we thought he might have been done. That back stuff that he went through was scary. So maybe now he's like, I'm going to go out on my terms and I'm going to do what I want. But I agree with you. I don't know that Randy will do the big run retirement like tour thing.
And this isn't a guy who's known for being happy. you know, at his inner ring. At his best, he was a guy who liked doing his job the best that he could do it. Very detail oriented, very serious about his job. That's the best you heard. You never heard this. This is a guy who loves wrestling. And now he seems like a guy who loves wrestling. He seems like he's got a lot of perspective. And he is, you know, one back injury away from maybe not wanting to wrestle anymore. So I think we should enjoy him while we have him. And I do like this version of Randy Orton.
Yeah. No, this was a really fun closing match. What was a really strong show, or again, they crammed a lot into the second half of this show tonight. A remarkable amount.
They had to.
Yeah. But I was very entertained throughout the entire show. It never slowed down.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a few other things in the world of wrestling before we wrap this up. Issa, guess what I watched last night?
What?
I watched many episodes of Level Up on Hulu, WWE NXT Level Up. Finally, I did it.
Good for you.
Matt, have you watched Level Up?
No, I don't even watch NXT. Like, NXT broke my heart when they went to 2.0. And it's been very hard to go back because those first shows.
It's so good.
Yeah, so good.
Oh, yeah, that's not for me.
Tony D'Angelo, the Don of NXT, does not do it for you?
You know, as much as, you know, one might enjoy ethnic stereotypes, and they have a lot on there. Like, they have a lot, you know. It's not really for me. I've enjoyed Braun Breaker. I like my buddy Robert Stone on there when I watch.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I never seen Level Up.
So let me ask
you. You know Robert Stone?
Yeah.
One of the first podcasts I ever did.
I know what you're thinking.
I know. Yeah. I know. Okay. Yeah, so we got to talk about this. So you haven't watched this, but they're doing all these vignettes with Robert Stone.
No.
What?
Matt, do you personally know Robert Stone?
I do.
Are those his kids?
They are definitely his kids.
Are you sure? Okay. They didn't have
that. Like, you can't set it up and say, we don't know. You have to ask, and that way you get the legit answer.
Okay, but there was no IVF. There was no donor used. No. There was no.
No, because his wife is, what's his wife's name? She's a wrestler too. I forget.
I'm not saying, I think his wife's involved, but yeah. I just don't know about Robert's father.
He's been putting those kids in front of cameras on Facebook. You know, Robbie was a hustler when he was Robbie E.
Oh, yeah.
He would always be on social media. And he's been putting those kids on Facebook since they were like a month old. He used to do exercises with them.
Yeah, but how long has Von Wagner been around?
These kids have been around since before he met Von Wagner.
Now, Von could have been the donor. Oh, maybe that's why Von joined NXT, was to reconnect.
You know what? I think they're Robbie's kids.
Okay, Matt, so if you watch these vignettes with Von Wagner hanging out with Robert and the kids.
I've seen a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like Von Wagner's kids.
Yeah, I promise. That's a funny thing. That's a funny thing.
No,
yeah,
they act like Von too. Like, it's really crazy.
I guarantee his kids have a bigger vocabulary than he does, though. I will say that much.
Oh, okay.
By I know how Glenn, we're gonna sped up the question. No, you ask, and then we get into it because otherwise you might get an iffy answer.
Okay, but in kayfabe, these are Von Wagner's kids, and nothing's going to change my mind.
Is that what we're saying?
No, that's not what they're doing on NXT, but that's what I take from these segments.
I think sometimes us fans think about these things more than the writers do, especially like a lot of the Elite fans and stuff. They have like this whole fictionalized account of things that never really happened. You know, it's just so you know what I say? Have fun. Have fun with it.
Well, speaking of which, Issa, Stevie Turner was on NXT Level Up. And I'm just like, why can't Stevie? Because she's still doing the hacker thing.
She's still a streamer?
Yeah, she's still like a streamer hacker. Why can't she hack into the NXT rundown and give herself a women's title match or something? You know, it doesn't make sense. But I want to tell everybody, okay, so if you don't watch Level Up, you got to watch Javon Evans on Level Up because this dude is an absolute future superstar. Like, he's very athletic, massively over with the crowd. He had his first match a few weeks ago. He's got another match tonight. Like, I highly, highly, highly recommend checking out Level Up and checking him out. Yeah, Level Up was good. So the problem with Level Up is they start with a match or two, and then they give you, like, a Cody Drew match from Raw, you know? So you essentially watch the first 15 minutes of the show, and you skip ahead 40 minutes and then watch the last match, and then it's over.
I can't do it, Glenn. Hey, I watch wrestling on Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays.
Issa, how much
tomorrow
wrestling?
I'm at an event. Sunday I'm going to watch Revolution. I can't.
It's 20 minutes of wrestling.
How much wrestling is too much wrestling, though? You know, like, I always at if you ever go to a Mania weekend, there's a point in time where I'm like, I can't do anything.
Oh, I was talking. Oh, I love that you brought that up, because the other day I was talking about my experiences, and I've done a few Mania weekends, and I was like telling people, if I'm a promoter, I will book my show Thursday when people are getting there and they're still hyped, because by Saturday, I don't want, by Sunday, I just went to Mania. No tailgating, no, I was beat up. I'm like, and the two nights is a blessing and a curse, because there's more going on. By the time you get to that Sunday, by the time you get to that Raw after Mania, but when it was one night, it was a little bit different, because it was a little bit of a break in between and all that. And if you're doing media, last year, for example, for us, not only did I do all the shows on the side plus all WWE things, but we had 2 days of junkets. It's not one day, it's 2 days of interview. You have like 3-4 community events, because it's WrestleMania, do more. Like, I'm with you. By Sunday, I've had it. You know what I mean? But when I first get there, that Wednesday night, Thursday night, oh, I'm ready to watch anything. So I always tell promoters, book your shows early in the week. Book a show on midnight on Friday, like right after Hall of Fame. Everybody's still hyped.
You got to do that
WrestleMania. Like, everybody's so excited. They did that. GCW does that a lot.
Yeah, Joey did
but the Collective, they always have a show. But somehow, there's always something going on at the Collective, no matter what time or day it is.
If you haven't been out there, guys, to a WrestleMania weekend, I've been to so many with my son. You go out on, I would agree, a Wednesday, you know? Yeah. Taking a WrestleCon super show, because they're just a lot of fun. Hit some GCW, maybe see a random Impact or crossover Ring of Honor show. Hit the WWE stuff. It's, especially with a kid, it's something you'll never forget. I think we've been to 6, 7. It is just an amazing time. And we're going, my 21-year-old now is going with me to a Revolution. So we're putting the crew back together,
I love that. I love that. My nephew is coming with me to this Mania. The Rock involvement actually got him really interested. I always tell people, my nephew's the one who got me into it. And he stopped watching, and now I cover it. It's weird how life works. But now, with The Rock being involved, he's like, hey, you mind if I just hang out with you for the WrestleMania weekend? I'm like, oh, now you want to come. He went to the Rumble with me as well. But it's fun to that. And now they're doing WWE World, which WWE stopped doing Access for a couple of years there. And I always thought that Access was such a fun part of WrestleMania weekend. So I'm super excited. We don't know what to expect, but I'm assuming it's going to be like a bougied up Access based on what they're, advertising. So I'm excited for that as well, because I did miss the Access experience.
But Access did someone with a kid who had to go
very expensive.
Went to Access but it also got just too crowded and not as fun. I remember the first year we went in 30, there was an NXT ring and like nobody was around.
Wrestling. They did the NXT ring all the way to 35.
But then by the time it was 35, man, it was just so many people. You'd wait, if you're waiting in line to meet somebody, that's what you're doing that day.
You had to be like you had to be so. At least now they have it's the same thing, but you have to be very strategic about which night you will go. I've always liked NXT, so I remember the first few years, if you went during Hall of Fame, they would put all the NXT people in Access. So miss Hall of Fame, go to Access, you'll meet everybody. Like, I met Asuka, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Bayley, because I went Hall of Fame night. So they had all the NXT people at Access. So you had to be very strategic. Here, we don't have a schedule. The one thing I did like about Access is if you wanted to meet a specific or do a specific VIP signing, it was expensive, but it was very organized. As far as, hey, you want to meet Roman Reigns, it's going to cost you $100, 11-1, here's the line, boom, and you have access to everything else, blah, blah, blah. Now here they're saying there will be superstar meet and greet, but they're not saying.
And this is the kind of thing, this World Thing or Access, which is a great icebreaker for your wrestling trips. If you haven't done a lot of wrestling trips, you have kids, this is a fun thing where you get to see some people. Even you go, oh, look over there, there's so-and-so, it's a great way to get involved from being as you become a crazy traveling wrestling fan.
And I love the free meet and greets for the kids, because the kids are just excited to meet a wrestler. And they've been doing them at the superstores for the big shows, and I always see a pretty good turnout. So I'm assuming World's going to do great. But back to the beginning, WrestleMania will show you that there is too much wrestling. And you are hyped as a wrestling fan. You're going there to see wrestling. Oh, yeah. It's the biggest wrestling weekend of the year. You do get burnout after a certain few days.
And I think Philly will be okay, because I think everything will be compacted in an area like New Orleans is. Like, yeah. L.A. was so spread out, and Dallas.
Well, it was the worst. Yeah. Dallas is ridiculous. Yeah. The stadium's not even in Dallas. It's in Arlington.
L.A., I spent $150 getting an Uber back from the venue, you know, for WrestleMania. Yeah. And it wasn't even an Uber. It was just a dude in a car.
We'll see. It's like that's a little over a month away. So it's
I think there's still going to be a little bit in Philly, because I'm assuming we all know that it's going to be more towards the convention center, which is downtown. The good thing about it is, if you're going to, like, the one thing that's going to work out for WWE this year is you can do Stand and Deliver in Mania, because you just got to cross the street to get from one arena to the other. They have all the stadiums in this one complex. You can stop at Xfinity Center and eat a night cheesesteak at Geno's and then get to Mania. I miss Stand and Deliver at LA and Dallas, because they were completely far opposite from each other. If you have any compromise, if you want to tailgate, you're not going to make it in time. So they kind of put you in a position where you have to pick one or the other. This year, I think people will be able to do both.
You know, compared to a lot of towns we've been to for WrestleMania, San Francisco, Orlando, there's not a whole lot to do in Philly compared to LA. And so you're going to be watching some wrestling. Yeah, you go to Geno's, sure.
Pat's. You know,
and then, or Pat's, right? Either one. And you'll maybe
run the stairs.
That's it.
Rocky Steps, yeah.
There's Rocky Steps.
And those things are, like, you know, not that far away from each other, you know. It's it'll hopefully be a good time for everybody. I'm still undecided whether I'm going or not.
There you go. Cool. Well, let's wrap it up for tonight. Everybody have a great weekend. I'm going to enjoy
it. I'm going to have fun at Revolution, man. It's going to be a legendary show to attend live.
It's
so going to
be a blast. You know, there weren't any comps available. Not that I would ask, but I heard there was no comps available. But I ended up with lower bowl seats, row A.
Nice.
Aisle, which for a big guy is like gold. So, hard camera side, too.
Oh, well, there you go. Ramp.
So, you know, you'll definitely see me on TV. But for me, that's as good as the event, is getting good tickets at a good price.
That's the best part.
Oh, my God. I got last-minute tickets to see New Edition Wednesday night, opening night of their Vegas residency. Dude, but they were sold out. People were reselling them for like $1,000 a pop. I went on. I was like, because I know from the concert business, they release the guest list holds. Once they have the final guest list, they release anything unsold. So I got Ticketmaster face value tickets for third row, orchestra center, like the day before when the guest list hold came off.
So we're talking beautiful. Gil, Brown, Bivens, the whole deal.
Oh, yeah. All six, man. All six. And it was relentless.
That's amazing, though.
Hit after hit after hit after hit. Bobby's out there doing My Prerogative into Belle Biv DeVoe Poison, into my Mr. Telephone Man. Johnny Gill's coming out doing Rub You the Right Way. Like, it was nonstop.
Every little step by tape.
Yeah.
Last minute tickets is such a gamble, but when you hit, it's literally like hitting a jackpot. I remember heading down, because I lived in New York City at that time, and I remember driving down to Philly, Royal Rumble 2018, and I was like, I'm going to go sit at Geno's, then I'm going to go to Xfinity, because I knew all the wrestling fans were going to be there, I'm going to hang out, and I'm just going to wait. And I did, and I ended up getting incredible tickets for about $50 each, like literally as the doors were opening, and that was sold out show. You have the last minute tickets, but you also have the resellers that haven't sold their stuff starting to lower when it's like because they only have like half hour, the website's gonna take them down. So, but it's a gamble. I never recommend, if it's a show, if it's a must watch show for you, I recommend you try to get your tickets before you do the trip and all that. But if it's something that is right next to you, you can, you know, it is fun though. The last minute ticket game is fun. It's like gambling, and when you hit, it's a high, because it's fun.
That's something you got to get used to do, you know, like, I've done it a lot, you know, the gamble and being and matter of fact, you know, I know they have these websites now where you can upgrade your seat, but before that I was in Barclays in the upper deck and the show hadn't started yet. And I bought StubHub tickets for the lower deck because I hated it so much. They were like,
Barclays has the worst upper deck. It's like the steepest that I've been ever.
Mm-hmm. Worst. So I just I think they were like 50, 60 bucks a piece. We got killer seats, and literally we just walked down with our new tickets, you know.
I thought that too. But
it is an adventure. Like, I know my way around some StubHub, Vivid, Ticketmaster, and I was waiting on those tickets, and you know, like, the row B was like twice as much as the tickets I got, so I'm like, it is time, I got a deal. Let's go.
I done it too. I know a lot of people that buy that $30 WrestleMania ticket just to get in and wait around, you know.
It works, man. It works. It's a gamble, but if you can play it, Cool. Yeah. Well, hey, everybody, have a great weekend. Yeah, we'll catch you back here for the Monday Night Crew. And then Issa and I'll be back Tuesday with a new guest. So it'll be fun. Cool, everybody. Have a great weekend. Matt is at Matt Coon Music. Issa's NYC Demon Diva. That's Diva with one. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Have a great weekend, everyone. Enjoy Revolution Sunday. Happy last match to Sting. And we'll see you back here on the Wrestling Inc. podcast.